Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. Richard Pfeiffer is with me again today, and excited that you're with us as well. We do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. We're talking about Jesus, who He is, what He's like. We've talked about so many of His qualities and characteristics, and today we're going to focus on the fact that He's Creator God. That He's not just that babe born in a manger, but He's always been, and that's hard for us to really grasp, to fathom, to understand that in its fullness. But that's truth. That's what the Word of God reveals. We see it in John's Gospel, the very first chapter, in the beginning. And so John is echoing the first lines of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus Christ is the cause of everything. So everything came to be because of Him. And that's really what this is talking about. All things were made, or all things came to be because of Jesus. He's the cause. And so if we're going to experience life, then it's got to come from Him. There's no other source of life. So what does it mean to us, Richard, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Creator, that He was the Word through which this world came to be and that we came to be?
Well, I bring it down immediately to what does it mean to be a Christian? I mean, if you say that Jesus created the world because the Bible says it, obviously you have to agree with the Bible, then why do you have such trouble believing that He said you're forgiven or you have passed from death to life or anything else? I mean, those are words that He speaks to us that literally recreate us. And if I can't accept that I'm a new creation, then I obviously haven't accepted that He created the earth in the first place. I'm confused about something. And so accepting that Jesus literally created everything we know, everything we've seen, everything we will see, even those things we can't see and we figure out scientifically otherwise, that is critical.
Yes.
Absolutely critical to your salvation, to your view of the world, to how you manage your life. All the rest of it flows from the fact that Jesus literally is the Creator.
Right. And one of the things that really strikes me about that is, you know, in the garden, Satan said to Eve and then to Adam, you know, if you eat this, you can be like God. You will become like Him. And what does that look like? Well, it looks like independence. It looks like freedom. Why? Because God really is the only independent being that there is. Everything else is dependent upon Him.
Yes.
So that means you and I are dependent upon Him. And since He created us, and since He created us in His image, then He knows us. He knows how we're supposed to function. He knows how we are to flourish. He knows how we can be the best versions of ourselves. So if we're going to find out what we're really like and live out who we really are as human beings, we have to have a dependency upon God as the Creator. And that's kind of what faith is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look at the alternative. We talk about humanity being so creative. And, you know, over the last 150, 200 years, almost every time the very first use of something that we have created is to kill people.
That's right.
There's a failure. There's something wrong with humanity if we claim that by, you know, we became like God, now we can create. we can make people dependent upon us. That never works.
Never.
It never, ever works.
Right. So Jesus is God. He created. It was through him, the Word, that all things came to be. That includes us. So we're dependent creatures, mm-hmm. dependent upon the Creator. That's how this relationship works. Jesus initiates. We respond. And if we will get that in our minds, that he initiates, we respond, this whole life will just come together, and we will begin to flourish as human beings and be able to truly live out who we are as the humans God created us to be. So that's just such a such a comforting thought. I don't have to be like God. I don't have to try to be independent. I can just be dependent.
Yeah.
Exactly how God created me to be.
And accomplish unbelievable things.
Yes.
Because he's doing the work through us.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. We want you to know this Jesus Christ that the Bible unfolds to us, reveals to us, and we've put together a wonderful resource entitled The Jesus You Can Know. It's five messages. We just take a look at some of the pictures that the Word of God paints regarding Jesus Christ. It will absolutely revolutionize your life. It will transform you. This whole relationship, this whole thing that we call Christianity, it's not a religion. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a series of rituals that we engage in. It truly is a relationship. God has revealed himself in such a way in the person of Christ that we can know him personally and intimately. And in knowing him, we experience life everlasting. So please, order your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate link there and follow all the instructions. And with your gift to Basic Gospel, you'll help others get to know this Jesus and have their lives transformed as well. So take advantage of this wonderful resource, The Jesus You Can Know. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. In the meantime, let's go up to Alaska and talk to Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I was calling to ask a question. And Mark, starting about 40, when he's talking, when Jesus was speaking, he was talking about I guess the teachers of law devouring the widow's houses. Do you think that the widow's offering had anything to do with that statement? How that, I know she gave all she had, but is that a way of like devouring the widow's houses?
Well, I think what Jesus was saying is that these teachers of the law, these religious leaders, were exploiting the flock basically for their own personal gain, for their own personal welfare. And that's why Jesus talked about that in John chapter 10, for example. The thief comes in another way, and they're there to steal, to kill, and destroy. So they're taking advantage of people for their own benefit. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about here. And that's why he always says to beware of them. They're not doing what they're doing for your personal benefit. They don't have your best interests at heart. There's only one shepherd that has your best interests at heart, and that's the good shepherd. That's Jesus Christ himself.
Okay, I just always kind of was thinking about how it jumped into the next verse and started speaking about a widow, about a, the widow's offering. I just kind of always had a thing with that, maybe thinking that had something to do with that also. But thank you very much.
Well, that's, it's certainly a part of it. Mm-hmm. We can engage, Anthony, in all kinds of religious activities, and we can have a motivation of showing off. Look how spiritual I am. Look how wonderful I am. Look how much I've given. And yet God knows the real story, doesn't he? He knows the motivations of our hearts. He knows how much we're giving and compared to how much we have. And I think that's why he talks about this widow who puts in all that she has, basically, and him saying that she's given more than all of them, because God's looking at the heart, and he's looking at the value of that to that particular person. So I think that's what he's talking about there.
Yeah, he's really contrasting the teachers of the law and this widow. And the teachers of the law would find ways under the law to throw widows out in the street. And instead, this widow who gave the least gave the most because she gave by grace through faith. And it's a complete contrast.
All right.
Okay, Anthony?
Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, thanks for your call. Great question today. We certainly appreciate it. You hold on. We'll send you, would love to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You hang on, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. Well, that opens up a line at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. I'm sending Anthony my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I talked to a lady yesterday in Atlanta that was reading this book and just really enjoying it. And if you're listening and have not purchased a copy of it, I'd certainly encourage you to do it. Not because I wrote it, but I think it's will be beneficial in your own life. And
yes,
you can get that through our website at basicgospel.net as well. Well, let's go to one of our Facebook viewers who had this question for us yesterday. We were unable to get to it, but this is Michael, who wrote this question: what are the works that salvation produces? And certainly when we look at the New Testament, we see a lot of written about works in a believer's life. So what are these works that, as he would say, salvation produces? Is that the right way to frame it, or should we frame it in terms of the works of the Spirit?
Yeah, we should frame it in terms of the works of the Spirit. Salvation is a fact. It's a state of being. That once I was dead spiritually, I accept Jesus. I come alive spiritually. I'm now saved. And that salvation is unassailable. It cannot be taken away from us. Well, what does that mean? The Spirit is coming to live inside of me. And now I get to have this conversation with the Spirit that I never could have before. And I get to fight this battle. Paul calls it the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh always wants to rear its ugly head and say, you deserve this or you deserve that. You should be able to take that from whomever. And the Spirit says, no, I think we need to work on this love aspect a little bit. And that becomes infinitely more difficult because you realize that what God's looking for is completely impossible apart from the Spirit. And so when you're learning to fix your eyes on Jesus and walk by grace through faith, every once in a while the Spirit will say, hey, turn around. I want to show you something, where you've been. And you realize that there have been things coming out of you that were never part of you before. A way of responding to stress, a way of responding when someone hurts you, a way of loving your wife or children better. It's an amazing thing. And you know, Paul also talks about in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit directly, I mean, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that stuff, those things flow out of us, and the works, the things that we literally do with our hands, change.
Yes.
And that is not, it's the result of salvation, but salvation isn't doing the works, because you can't lose salvation if you mess up. If salvation was a matter of work in any way, then every time we made a mistake, Jesus would have to die again. He's not going to do that again. So what we're learning to do is walk in the Spirit by grace through faith with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and hold on to your hat, because it's going to be amazing what the Spirit will do through us and will prompt us and challenge us and say, why are you thinking that? Why are you going that direction? I think this is a better way. And when we learn to listen, things really do change.
They sure do. And here's a passage, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. So God has done something with us. We're his poem, and that's what this Greek word is, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yes.
So there's a purpose, and certainly those good works are sourced by God himself. Mm-hmm. He is the one who is at work.
And he created them in advance for
us. Right. So what do those look like? It could be extending forgiveness to someone that has wronged you. It's loving your neighbor. But again, these are all the byproducts of the work of God's Spirit in and through you. So great question, Michael. Hope that helps. Let's go down to Waco, Texas, and talk to Roy. Hi, Roy.
Hello there, Bob. I have a question. I have heard most of my life people will make a comment, I have sacrificed my life to Christ. Is this a decision you make? How do you sacrifice your life to Christ? Do you make a decision, or what do you do?
Well, Roy, that's a great question. Yeah. The sacrifice was Jesus's. He sacrificed his life for us. He died so that we could be made alive together with him.
Yes.
That's the story of the gospel. We were dead in sin. We didn't have a life. We didn't have spiritual life. So we had to receive that by grace through faith in Jesus. So Jesus laid down his life for us. He was the one who sacrificed his life. And he picked it up again through resurrection. And then he gives us his very life. So that's what salvation is all about, Roy. Jesus laying down his life for us, then picking up his life again so that he could give it to us. And then now that he's living in us, he lives that life through us. That's the story of the gospel. So the sacrifice is his. Now, when Christ begins to live through us, we recognize that sometimes it's not always about us. We think of others over and above ourselves. That's what love is all about. And so we start to think about others' needs and how we can be utilized to help meet those needs. So in that aspect, that becomes a sacrificial love. But that's the type of love that God has poured in our hearts by his Spirit. So, you know, we read about Peter and the 12. You know, Jesus is making some statements and teaching, and they're saying, hey, we've given everything up for you, Lord. And what they gave up was just an empty way of life.
Yeah.
That's the reality. They walked away from emptiness. They walked away from nothing of significance to gain everything in Jesus. And that's true of all of us. Our former way of life was empty. It was hollow. There was nothing of substance there. There was nothing of meaning. There was nothing of eternal consequence or value. And so we simply walk away from that and receive everything in Jesus. So does that make sense to you, Roy?
Well, it does, but I still want to know, is this a matter of making a decision?
Well, Roy, the decision is in salvation. The decision is in believing the gospel,
okay.
The
well,
death.
I understand that.
Yeah, well, that's it. But you're saying I'm dead and I want to receive life. So you're dying to that old self. You're saying, I'm forgetting about that. I'm laying that old life down, and I'm grabbing a hold of this new life in Jesus.
I do understand.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I have to accept Christ. But when I'm deciding to buy a new car or whatever, I consider Christ in making my decision. And maybe it's more than that.
Well, that's just wisdom. You're trusting him for wisdom in those decisions, and that's exactly right. So you're saying, hey, I don't want to let My flesh rule the roost as far as the decisions I make in life. I want to walk by the Spirit. I want His desires to spell themselves out in my day-to-day life.
I can understand that.
Yeah, so that's what it's all about, Roy.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
You are so welcome. Thanks for your call. Great question today.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at this one from Deborah from Facebook as well. She says, how am I to confront my fears of the public? I'm terrified of strangers out in the public. I only get out to go do my doctor's appointments. Otherwise, I stay at home. So we meet a lot of people that have that type of fear. I've met a number of folks that have been diagnosed as agoraphobic, which means they're afraid of everything.
Yeah, they're afraid of the marketplace, literally.
Right,
that's what it means.
And so they confine themselves to a very small area. This is where they feel comfortable. This is where they feel okay about themselves. And if they go beyond those boundaries, they get anxiety and oftentimes panic attacks and those sort of things. Now, what I've discovered about that, Richard, is that it's an identity issue. When you get out in public, what you're afraid of really is people finding out what you're really like. You don't want to be exposed. You don't want people to find out about a certain sin you may have done years and years ago. So you're trying to keep that close.
Or something that has happened to you.
Right.
And you're ashamed of it for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
Whether you need to be or not, it's completely beside the point. It becomes your definition of who you are.
Right. So you have to come to that point and really grab hold of who you are in Christ, to grab hold of that new identity, that people may think all kinds of ill things about me, but here's what God thinks about me. Here's what God has said about me. And if He said my sins are forgiven and that He remembers them no more, I'm going to choose to believe that. And I'm going to go out armed with that truth in my day-to-day life, and that can give you the confidence to stand firm in this gospel message. So oftentimes that fear is tied to identity, how you perceive yourself based on something that's either happened to you or something that you've done. And you have to say, no, I'm not defined by what's happened to me or what I've done, a sin I've committed. I'm defined by what Jesus did. And when you really grab hold of that, and oftentimes that's hard to do, but when you do, you will see some freedom start to flow into your life. And you will see that fear starting to diminish. I knew a lady in Kentucky who was agoraphobic and lived within a mile circle. And when she finally grasped hold of who she was in Christ, she became a world traveler. And that's just how powerful this gospel is. It just exploded all of those fears and just grounded her deeply in the love of Christ Jesus. So that's how you confront those fears, by the love of God. Always the love of God. Cast aside fears.
And the Spirit will never take you faster than the Spirit knows you can deal with it. He's not going to take you from locked in your house to running for a public office. That's not going to happen.
Right.
He's going to take you kindly, step by step, renewing your mind until you're able to move out and do whatever He has for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's the love of God that's going to cast out that fear and give you the confidence to expand the boundaries of your life.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition. We are so honored that you allow us to journey with you, to be a part of your day-to-day life. And thank you for being a part of ours. Richard, thank you for being here today. We always love having you and love the keen insights and the wisdom that you bring to the airwaves, the Basic Gospel airwaves. So thank you for your contribution.
Thank you.
Now for our entire team, we invite you to be back with us tomorrow for another edition. In the meantime, we want you to have this wonderful resource called The Jesus You Can Know. The Jesus You Can Know. He changes everything. and he will change your life from the inside out through this wonderful relationship that he has called us into by grace through faith. Get your copy by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. But we'll see you tomorrow.